This audio contains adult languages and content. This audio is created purely for entertainment purposes only. Any actions in this audio is not given permission nor encouraging of doing so. It is not suitable for anyone under the age of 18. It may not be suitable for all adult listeners. All actions within this audio is fictional and should not be taken literal. Listen at your own discretion. To find more of my content, check out my website, plushiezoo.card.co. So that's Papa, Lima, Uniform, Sarah, Hotel, Yankee, Zulu, Oscar, Echo, Charlie, Alpha, Romeo, Romeo, Delta, Charlie, Oscar. Again, that's plushiezoo.card.co. See you there, loves. It feels weird walking with this girl I'm about to rape. Me, Gia, and Jasmine head down the stairs to the apartment at the bottom of the building. At the rear of a long hall that's turned into a cement tunnel on account of having to exit due to the hill, we go through the door on the left. Jasmine has to use a key to unlock it, and when she flips the switch, the bare bulb and what should be the living room flickers on. Wooden stalls with chicken wire for walls and half doors leading in. Bare cinder block walls line the perimeter. The smell of dust and trash hangs in the stagnant air. Jasmine heads to her stall at the back, Gia following me with the camera and tripod. We're all quiet, which is magnified with the strange lack of noise coming from outside. Jasmine opens the door and she's already laid out a towel on the floor. Okay, so I was thinking we could do another mouth scene, says Jasmine as she pulls off her t-shirt. A pair of tiny tween breasts bounce out, bright pink nipples standing out in the chilled air. I look at Gia like I want support, then suggest, maybe I should get a shower first.
Why?
Asks Jasmine, already pulling her jean shorts down to her knees, a glaring lack of underwear obvious. I just fucked your brother in his ass, I tell her.
Oh, right, Jasmine says.
She's thinking, clearly stunned by the slightest deviation from her plan. I can do that to you, I suggest. Really without any agenda, Gia looks long ways at me and I look defensively back at her.
Yeah, okay,
Jasmine says. She turns around to the towel on the floor, pauses, then turns back around to me. She brushes her hair back behind her head, then turns back to the towel. I start to undo my pants. The whole thing feels even more awkward.
I've never done that, Jasmine says.
Then maybe we shouldn't, Gia suggests.
It feels good, though, right? Jasmine asks us nervously, finger in hand, knee twitching at each other.
Oh, yeah, Jasmine confirms quickly. But it's...
He'll be okay, I promise both of them. I take my shirt off. I'm already getting hard.
Wait, I think I forgot. I got you, Gia says, producing a small vial of lube from her purse. I look at the lube, then at her, curious.
Shut up, she tells me.
Jasmine quickly checks the camera, sets up the tripod. Oh, well, totally naked. Like, I'm one to talk. All I've got on are my socks. Which, on the hard cement floor, I'm kind of hesitant to take off. Jasmine sets the camera, then exhales steadily, walks out onto the towel.
Okay, she says,
then lowers down onto her knees. She gets down on her elbows, her butt stuck in the air.
Okay,
she tells herself again. I kneel down behind her, squirt of a massive glob of lube into my palm. I apply it to her hips and go her tiny crack before I begin to apply it
to the small pink button. She gasps and tenses up as I slip my finger just barely inside. Sorry, she whimpers. It's okay, I promise her. Once she's lured up, I step back and coat myself. I take a second to breathe and ask Gia, are we filming? She nods, watching the monitor. Okay, I repeat. Jasmine, remember the safe word is pineapple. I see her nod. Okay, I tell myself again. Action! The little girl in the tower immediately hunkers down, trying to make herself as small as possible. I hear a whimper a few times from between her hands, which I can barely see, before she begs, please stop. I won't lie, my dick twitches. I approach her from behind, trying to discard thoughts of care and respect, and try to treat her like a piece of meat. I kneel down right over her and stroke my hand down her back, then smack her on the hip. She yelps and lets out a terrified sob. I try to make her look rough, but I push my finger inside her butt, one joint, two joints, all the way to the knuckle. She yelps in shame and embarrassment and buries her face in the towel, crying more. That's it, I tell the little girl on her knees. I shift a bit, mindful of my placement on the camera. I put the tip of my dick against her and start to apply pressure. Jasmine jerks forward away from me, yelping. I'm trusting this little girl to be acting. I grab her hips and squeeze them hard, digging my fingers into her slender waist, barely bigger than my thigh. When my tip placed, I push harder. Her body surrenders and she opens up, accepting the tip of my dick. Jasmine sobs again and covers her face, squealing, please stop, stop. Please let this be an act. I glide on down, dipping halfway down my shaft before I stop. For a second, I just stay there, feeling her tight ass around my dick as the tiny girl sobs into her towel. I can feel her pulse through her ass, feel her racing heart, and feel more than hear her desperate sobs. Still holding her waist, I draw back some, then push in again. I bury myself all the way to the hilt, absolutely filling her entirely. Her head raises up, tiny breasts jutting forward as she howls. I reach up and grab her hair, tangling it into my hand and pulling back. I do it gently, but I try to make it look forcible. She yelps and sobs again, begging me to stop, to let her go. I start thrusting, wet slaps of my hips, hitting her ass, fill the storage room. Gia captures the anal rape on camera as this little girl squeals in pain and submission while I violate her. One hand tugging her hair, the other hand holding her waist. I rapidly thrust in and out, driving all the way in, then pulling out almost to the head. Long, quick strokes in and out of her tiny, tight little butt. The movements add up quickly and I start to pant. I switch hands, tugging her hair, and begin to speed up. I whisper, fuck. And that seems to be enough. I hit the precipice and I can't stop. My thrusting goes hard and fast and I moan. Jasmine absolutely shrieks and shoves her face into the towel, screaming. At the same time, I moan one last time as I thrust against her. I shove myself so deep, I feel my cum spray back at me. I grab Jasmine's hips and push into her again and again and again, without ever withdrawing, just pumping out every last drop of cum. I half collapse over Jasmine, and she quietly sobs, whimpering again and again. Stop! Please, please stop! Once I know I haven't got anything left in me, I pull out. A half-full hard dick flopping out. Lube and cum coat my shaft. And dribble out of Jasmine's ass. She falls onto her side and bawls out, quietly sobbing into her hands, her whole body shaking. I back away, out of the shot, and exhale. Cut! Gia shouts. Jasmine lays out flat on the towel and groans. Oh! She reaches between her legs with both hands and cups her tiny hairless pussy and kneads it. Go ahead, that hurt, and she keeps firmly managing her body. Yeah, it's quite a thing, isn't it? She agrees with a chuckle. Jasmine slowly gets up, her face flushed. She looks stiff and ungainly. She bites her lips as she rubs both her butt cheeks. She looks at me and gives me an exhausted smile. This girl is so strange. Cheap knockoff of an expensive leather jacket. Honey, what's going on? Asks Jasmine, trying to get a little between him and my employer. Rent is late, Yuri tells me. You'll get your money, I tell him. Jack's been kind of inconsistent in the last year. It's been a little chaotic. I give you over a month leeway. Yuri growls at us both. Now you pay on time, you pay late fees. You get fully caught up. Okay, I accept Yuri quickly. I've dealt with guys like this at the medical school, in HR and medicine. You deal with all types, from all over. I know how to diffuse a situation. Late fees. Let's start there. What is it? $50, Yuri tells me. Okay, I repeat. I glance back through the open-air hallway, a little self-conscious of the rundown apartment complex. I take out the envelope Jasmine gave me earlier in the day and take out some bills. I don't even bother checking to see how much. Here, I tell him. This should cover last month's fee and this month's, and some extra. He looks at the greenbacks in my hand, then at me. Otherwise, he doesn't move. And you'll get the rent shortly? After that, it'll be regular. If not, I shrug, the money still extended. If not, you at least know we're good for it. You're late 2 months now, he says, holding up two fingers. Yeah, but you know we're good for it, I negotiate. And how many of your tenants have run late? We ended up good for it, but if you evict us, we'll be good for the rent somewhere else. I can see Yuri rolling that around in his head, and after a moment he takes the bills. We really want to be good tenants, man. We'll do right by you. Yuri folds the money and puts it in his back pocket, then fixes his gaze fully on me. Rent, he says. He walks past us, heading for the parking lot. Jasmine's arms are crossed tight over her stomach. She looks like a tween pouting about not getting to go to a boy band concert. Lips slightly protruding, thanks to her frown. Thanks, she says a little hard. You look like you could use some backup, I say. She just goes back inside, leaving me in the exterior hallway. Jasmine doesn't call us for another week. When she finally does, I honestly started to think the movies were over. I thought she, taking it so personally that I got involved with her landlord, that I've been let go. And she just didn't bother to tell me. So I was surprised, pleasantly so, when she called to set up the next shoot. When I arrived, things were immediately different, though I couldn't figure out why. The apartment looked different. The carpets were clean, and there was a vacuum where the roller skate box was. There also was a TV in the living room. It was clearly older, used, but it was newer than the one that had been there before. The place seemed brighter, still smelled of cleaner. Jasmine looked exhausted.
She had bags under her eyes, which I honestly didn't know 14-year-olds could get, or however old she is. Sometimes I think she could be a freshman in high school. Other times, learning she's in the fifth grade wouldn't totally surprise me. The middle height, not quite adult but taller than a kid, and those small but developing breasts just make it impossible to tell. She is, there again, wearing a shower robe. She takes a mini bottle of liquor out of her purse and pours herself a shot. She looks at me as I stand, waiting to be told what to do, and she offers me a sip. I take her up on it. Any idea what the plan is? She said something about you and me, is all Gia has to offer. Jasmine comes back in, cami top and capri pants, looking as worn out as she is. Hey, she says. She starts to turn, turns back the other way, then stops and faces me. Sorry, it's been... She shakes her head, like she's trying to wake up. Do you think, would you be okay with doing scenes with, Gia? I look at the woman next to me, then kind of shrug. Both of us make fairly generic, non-committal sounds. Not eager, but not opposed to it either. Okay, but I want to start with Candy doing you, she tells me. But then she turns to Gia. But with you helping. Helping Candy or helping him? Gia asks. Jasmine looks utterly perplexed. What's the difference? Asks the young girl. If I'm helping Candy, I'm sucking him off too, Gia explains before taking another sip from her mini bottle. And if I'm helping him, then I'm guiding Candy down his cock. I'm training her. Jasmine is absolutely still for a second, only her eyes moving as her gaze darts around. She finally ventures forward, almost fearfully. Both, she lets out. Candy comes out of the side bedroom, looking like a beam of light. Bright hair, big smile on her face, vibrant skin. Totally stark naked. Her hair is in pigtails, again, but little Disney barrettes. She's wearing socks with cats on them, for some reason. And she just bounces into the living room with a big ta-da pose. Arms and legs spread wide, chest jutting forward, huge smile on her face. Jasmine sighs and turns away saying, let's get started. Teddy does a cartwheel to the couch, which makes me and Gia look at each other. Gia snickers and says, I'm guessing sugar. I let her buy pixie sticks at the store, Jasmine mutters as she gets the tripod and the phone. She takes it around to the corner of the living room and starts to set it up. I take off my clothes, feeling self-conscious. I get nude in the corner, half erect dick already standing out with the tiny little girl and a MILF waiting for me on the couch. How do you want, I start to ask, but Jasmine just points between the two in the center of the couch. She yawns as I sit down. Okay, least Candy? Jasmine corrects herself abruptly. Go ahead, and she waves her hand at me. Candy draws onto all fours over my lap and goes right for my dick. She kisses the tip with lip balm covered lips that glisten and smell like cherries, then licks me a few times. I relax a little, settling in as this girl begins to suck on the very tip. I spread my arms out and Gia leans up against me. The Asian woman kind of presses into me, large breasts mashing up against my chest as she breathes against my neck. I put my arm around her narrow shoulders as we both watch Candy work. The little girl, no more than fifth grade, starts trying to suck the tip of my dick. Little blonde hair bounces as she bobs her little head up and down, her little cheeks pulled in as she sucks. Her little back tenses with the movements, tiny prepubescent muscles standing out against her gawking, bony body. I reach across her and put my hand on her butt, feeling the hard ridges of the bone as womanhood has yet to begin unfurling. Gia reaches down and caresses Candy's head, sliding her fingers along the back of the little girl's head. She lowers down a little. As Candy keeps sucking my head, Gia kisses the shaft. She wraps her tongue halfway around and glides up and down, moistening me for Candy's descent. I lean back and moan as the pair work together to get me off. Gia pulls up and kisses Candy across the tip of my dick. She slithers her tongue out into Candy's mouth, French kissing her, with my dick in the way. "Ew," says Kyle. I didn't even notice when he'd come in. Jasmine shushes him and keeps focused on the video. Gia takes a few dives on my dick, gliding down with no trouble, and then pulling off to let Candy have a go. The little girl, half her sister's size, gets up on her knees, holding her pigtails out of the way, and tries to go down. She put those lip balm-coated lips against my dick and tries to push down. I feel her mouth was just my head. Then I feel her throat start to open up. A slick gulp of sound follows as she manages to work her way down my shaft. I moan again, head rolling back, as the little girl on my left starts to fuck me with her throat. The instant Candy has to pull off, Gia ravishly attacks my dick, desperate to get in a few strokes of her mouth before Candy tries again. The pair go back and forth, trading places until finally, as Candy goes down, I shout. I pop like a ball of warm champagne and cum sprays into Candy's throat. The little girl pulls off with a squeal and yelps as white gobs of hot pleasure splash on her face. She puckers up her face as she sits up on her knees, the goo coalescing on her cheeks and chin. Gia takes my shaft and strokes me a few times, working out the remnants of my orgasm. As I slowly pant, finally Jasmine announces, "Cut!" "Sorry," I tell Candy.
"No, it's okay," she says,
clearly a little grossed out. She didn't seem to mind it this much last time. She gets a paper towel from the kitchen and wipes off her face with some decidedly girlish ewes. Meanwhile, Jasmine reviews the video quality, then announces, "Cal, you're up."
"Action,"
called Jasmine. Ryan sat next to Cal on the couch, his arm across the little boy's narrow shoulders. On the ground before Kyle, Gia was kneeling with her head on Kyle's lap. Jasmine was just to the side with the cell phone and the tripod, recording the whole thing. She captures Gia's tongue as she lavished attention on the little boy's dick, sliding up it with a broad stroke, then tickling the tip with the very edge of her tongue. Cal squirmed in his seat. His little hips shifted as he tried to manage impulses that his body scarcely understand. He let out a whimper as his dick, hardly bigger than Ryan's thumb, stiffened under Gia's control. Ryan stroked the little boy's face with one hand, gently caressing his torso with the other. Ryan brushed his fingers over Cal's nipples, causing the tiny pink skin to stand up and Cal whimpering again. Despite having just come, Ryan's own dick was starting to harden. He was watching the way new Gia lavished attention on Kyle's little hardness, churning the boy's desire. She turned her head to the side and brushed her tongue up the sensitive back of his dick, then dove down, enveloping his entire cock inside her mouth. She angled her head down, raising up on her knees a bit to getting not just his dick, but also his tiny, tensed up balls, too. With his whole groin inside her mouth, she bounced up and down a few times. Wet slopes of carnal enthusiasm almost drowned out by Kyle's moans and gasp. The little boy started to pull away, the pleasures too much for him to manage. Ryan held him in place gently, but firmly, keeping the little boy from crawling away from Gia's enthusiastic blowjob. He whimpered out, I can't! Gia pulled off his little dick and smiled up at the boy who was squirming beneath her command. She held his dick between her index finger and her thumb, stroking it rapidly. She rose up and kissed him, breast pressed into his flat, prepubescent chest. She licked his lips as she pulled away, and she dove down onto him once more. He let out a loud shriek and yelled, "No!" just before shouting. Gia kept bobbing up and down on the tiny little cock in her mouth. As tiny gobbles of clear cum dribble out around her lips, she let the slick mess pull down on the boy's cock before she drove all the way down onto him again and slurped. When she pulled up again, the mess was gone. She pulled off, scooping up the errant drops with her thumb. She pushed it all into her mouth and smiled, then swallowed slowly and with relish. "Cut!" Jasmine called out. Kyle was panting as Gia got up from her knees. "You okay?" Ryan asked. The little boy nodded, his young face flushed red. "Kyle, take a shower and get dressed," Jasmine told him, a little absently as she reviewed the footage on the cell phone. The little boy got up and disappeared down the hall where Candy had gone. Gia stood up and pushed back her hair, breasts large, on her jutting forward as she did. "You're seen now, right?" she asked Jasmine. "Yeah," the director said. She was about to turn to Ryan when Gia told her, "Any chance I can do something, I'm gonna burst." Jasmine looked at Ryan, then at Gia, at a loss. "Well, the order is for something, you know, forceful." Gia smirked and told Jasmine, "I've got a few ideas that would work." To find more of my content, check out my website, plushiezo.card.co. So that's Papa, Lima, Uniform, Sarah, Hotel, Yankee, Zulu, Oscar, Echo, Charlie, Alpha, Romeo, Romeo, Delta, Charlie, Oscar. Again, that's plushiezo.card.co. See you there, loves. Jasmine comes out of the bedroom in a terry cloth short and a baby doll t-shirt. More skin is showing than not. It's almost a cloth bathing suit, and the clothes are so tight. Her mid-pubescent breasts aren't very big, but are captured by her young sister's shirt. They look gigantic, like they're going to explode at any moment out of her shirt, or through it. Captured nipples are already starting to sprout from the texture rubbing against them. She walks a little awkwardly into the living room where me and Gia are waiting. She holds out her hands and does a little turn and says, "Is this okay?" "Uh-huh," Gia tells her with a lecherous look. "Oh, okay," Jasmine says, stammering nervously. She goes into the kitchen, a tiny space with fluorescent faded floor tiles. A horseshoe-shaped counter with an open portion facing into the living room. She stands right in the middle and waits as I check the phone and the tripod. "Now just dance," Gia says. Jasmine looks like a deer in headlights, like you're making a YouTube video that you're going to upload later. Jasmine looks perplexed for a second. It starts to go pale with embarrassment. She starts swaying her hips a little, more like she's wagging her butt than anything else. "There's no music," she tells Gia. Just pretend, Chia tells her back. The young teen girl keeps trying to move awkwardly and unrhythmically. You're going to lay music over the video later, Chia directs. Jasmine starts trying to channel her inner baby shark or something because she starts getting into it. She bops this way and that, her hips with only a hint of curve sliding to one side and then the other. Skinny legs twitching a bit as she moves and jerks around the room. She tries to pump her chest like Shakira, but it looks like she's chest pumping the air. She tries to twerk, but it looks like her back is spasming. Chia takes off her bathrobe, totally nude beneath. She walks to a frame and Chia stops, freezing like she's been caught. Chia approaches, saying something too low for the camera to catch. She slaps Jasmine. It's fast, but super light. While at the same time, she hits her own thigh to give a really startling flesh-against-flesh sound. Jasmine falls into the corner of the kitchen counter, huge Bambi-like eyes gawking with fear. Chia stands over Jasmine and says some more stuff that the camera doesn't catch, and slaps Jasmine again. The cowering little girl whimpers, shaking her head desperately as she tries to make herself as small as possible. Watching all of this, an embarrassed and shamed erection begins to grow inside my pants. Chia clutches Jasmine's jaw and tilts her face up at her, then spits right on her. She grabs the collar of Jasmine's shirt and yanks it hard, tearing the tiny baby doll off. Young, perky breasts spray out from the ripped shirt, and Jasmine cowers in further. Chia commands loud enough to be heard, "Open your mouth!" Terrified Jasmine opens her mouth and Chia demands, "Stick out your tongue!" Jasmine does. "Further!" Jasmine extends her broad tongue and Chia straddles her shoulders, using her fingers to part the lips of her pussy. Chia lays her clit right on Jasmine's tongue and slides it along the wet flesh. "That's it," she tells Jasmine. She starts to rock her hips back and forth, gliding her clit over Jasmine's quivering mouth. She grabs Jasmine's head, fingers pushed through her hair, as she forces herself onto Jasmine. "That's it." Muscles in her skinny butt flex, her tight legs moving rapidly. "Fuck." Chia groans as she grabs her own breast. More than a handful, she squeezes tight, twisting her own nipple as she irreparably comes. Her hips shake, and her legs wobble as she howls with pleasure. She pulls off Jasmine, whose cheeks are stained with tears. Chia rubs between her legs for a second before she spits on Jasmine's face again, then just leaves the young girl cowering in the corner. Chia walks out of frame. She looks at me, and I remember my role in all of this, calling out, "Cut!" Instantly, sex crime victim Jasmine looks up with bright eyes and asks, "Was that okay?" This little girl is really fucking weird. I pull up to the same light greenhouse in the suburban cul-de-sac. The trampoline in the backyard is moved. Probably when whoever mowed the lawn. I put the car in park, but I don't turn off the engine. It's awkward for a second before Chia looks at me. I look at her, and her mouth slowly curls into a smile. I didn't want to assume. I tell her before I turn off the car. She comes out of the back of the house fully nude, wearing a thick black choker that looks like it's stretching her neck. It hands breasts, just a little smaller than her head, stand up from her petite Asian body as she walks. Toned legs with the slightest ridge of abs that peek out with each step. She's putting her hair up in a top-notch bun, which makes her taut stomach and gorgeous breasts stand out even more. "Okay," she says, like she's psyching herself up. She stands right against the flat side of the couch in the sitting room.
She takes a few slow breaths, her hand on her head. Okay, she repeats, this time as a command. With my belt in my hand, I drew back and give her a light smack across the butt. She jerks her head back at me and stares for a second. I start to panic, but she snorts and challenges me with a, come on. I don't know how hard to go, I protest with a laugh. The new mom turns to me, takes the belt from my hand, smacks me on the side. I yelp and recoil, laughing. Harder than that, she demands at me. She turns back to the couch and again puts her hands on the top of her head. She excels a few times, clearly getting into the headspace. Okay, she says once more. I give it a good thwack. There's a loud leather slap against her butt, her firm cheeks barely jiggling. She gasps and lurches forward, eyes huge and wide, her nipples waging as she shakes from the strikes that's left a light red welt on her butt. She closes her eyes again and bites her lower lip. She nods. A second smack on her butt leaves a harder welt, the sound of her spank echoing in the room for entertaining guests. Her hips churn as her shoulders squirm at the sting of the impact. Her head bends forward as she breathes in pain. Tell me, a freak, she whispers through the pain. I spank her again, another loud whop, echoing. Oh God, yes. Tell me I'm a fucking sicko. Why? I ask her. I reach up and grab her top-notch bun, pulling her head back a little. Her mouth gapes open as her breast just juts forward. I really give it a good swing. The belt strikes across her butt and around her thigh, leaving a violent red mark where it was. She screams a gasp as agony threatens to overwhelm her. Because you want to fuck your daughter? Her mouth quivers as her body shakes. You're a sick pedo who wants to fuck her own daughter. I insult, spanking her again with several loud, hard strikes of my belt right on her butt. You want to pin her down to her own bed and fuck her until she screams? Gia's eyes clamp shut and her mouth seals, tightening. Her face turns red as she holds everything in. She nods repeatedly. I just start slapping her ass and back with the belt, pounding on it, all while I scold her. You want to rape your own fucking daughter like the sick bitch who likes little girls? You want to see your own preteen daughter screaming as you make her come again and again? And, Gia bursts. She screams and falls forward over the side of the couch, grabbing herself just before she stops. Her red, marked-up butt is in the air as she crawls away from the mind-numbing orgasm. She grabs herself between the legs with both hands as she rapidly rubs herself, completing the orgasm as she moans deep and carnally. Pull my hair, pull my hair, she says in the midst of a pleasure trance. I grab her hair and carefully tug her head back, and she lets out a deep, wet gasp. Her body tenses up again for what seems an eternity, and then she falls limp. She just melts onto the couch, slowly curling up onto the seat. I take a step back, panting a little. My pitching arm is sore, that's for sure. I drop the belt and come and sit next to Gia. I guide the mother's head into my lap and gently stroke her hair. Her breathing slows very gradually, and she curls up a bit more. She lays her exhausted head on my chest and dozes off for a moment. I hold her and stroke her back, finally kissing her on the top of the head. I'm really sick, aren't I? She whispers. I'm not sure what to say, so I just offer her, you and me both. I'm not sure what that did, but it seems to give her some comfort because she leans up and kisses my chin. I sit holding her for a bit longer.
I'm at work, staring at a computer screen, wondering how anyone can get an MD, a PhD, and still not get that you can't just decide how much the hospital will pay a research assistant. Does she not get that there are rules for this kind of thing? So, I'm trying to decide if I want to pass the buck to the department head, or save myself an extra headache by making this one worse, and try to explain it to the doctor once again. My phone rings. I pick it up, eager for the distraction, saying, "Ryan Kinders?" "Hi, it's Jasmine." "Good morning, Mr. Kinders. We were wondering if you might be available for another role." Fuck, she's calling me on my work line? Ugh, fuck, I forgot I gave it to her. I freeze up. Why are you calling me here?" I blurt out. "You, my cell, it wasn't ringing," Jasmine says quickly. "And it's kind of an emergency." I turn in my tiny office, take out my cell. Yep, no bars. Typical. I look out at the sky through the world's smallest window and scowl at the cloud cover. Yep, sounds about right. I wipe my face. "Let me call you back." "Okay, hurry," she says. What's the rush? The downside of working in the med school is cell reception is always spotty. The good side is that you can take 5 steps and you've got full bars. So it doesn't take but a minute to call Jasmine back. I'm in the hall, but in the early afternoon, everybody's got their doors shut, or they're in a meeting, so it's surprisingly private. "Hey," I say when Jasmine's picked up. "Look, please don't call me at my work unless it's like a real emergency." "Yeah," Jasmine says, acknowledging she knows. Now I'm even more worried. I'm afraid she's about to tell me the cops raided her apartment or whatever. Instead, she goes into her "I'm a movie casting agent" make-believe and says, "We'd like you to play a non-erotic role for a one-time performance." I'm not really in the mood for this. "Please, just what's happening?" I can appreciate hearing Jasmine's demeanor change. "Lee Candy's," she takes a deep breath, tearful breath. "Lisa's teacher failed her on the exam like a total zero, and he wants to talk to her parents, and I don't know what to do." She's tearing up. "And you talked to the handler guy, and you got him to leave us alone, and I was just..." She lets out a sob. "Please," she begs into the phone. "Shh, shh," I tell her. I look down the hall, but it's still empty, just to see if closed office doors. "What do you need me to do?" She mutters up some strength. "Will you drive us to school tonight and pretend to be our dad and just..." She sobs again. "She's gonna flunk and she'll be kept back and well..." She stops, lets out another gasp. She takes a deep breath and steadies herself. I can make it worth your while. I promise." I'm not gonna lie. My dick twitched. More than once. "Look, yeah, I can. I can't tell if this is getting even more serious or if this is no big deal at this point." "Okay, what time tonight?" 6, Jasmine says.
6?
I balk. "What time's the appointment with the teacher?" 6, Jasmine repeats. I do a double take. I look at the time on my phone. How does he expect your parents to be?" I wave it off. "Okay," I tell her again. "I'll be at your place at 5:30, and we'll go to the school, and I'll figure something out." "Lisa can't flunk," Jasmine begs me.
That's all that matters. I'll do anything if it'll just... I can hear the tearful desperation in her voice. It's going to be fine. I lied to her. Thank you, she says. I'll make it up to you, I promise. Thank you. The way she says make it up to me makes me swell, and I'm somehow even more unsettled by that than her age. There's this super awkward moment of silence as we drive. Jasmine in the front seat next to me, looking humiliated, scared, terrified, angry, ashamed, and not trying to show any of it at all. She's wearing blue jeans and a tight yellow long-sleeve t-shirt that she's hugging close as she holds her elbows. The seatbelt comes across her neck, reminding me of how small she is, how young she is. In the back, Candy, or I guess I should just start calling her Lisa, is wearing a sundress with shin-high boots. She looks like she's pouting, but a bit serious about it. Both girls' hair is down, which is on, but then the fact that they're both dressed at all is odd to me. So, what's the story? I ask, mostly Jasmine as I drive. Traffic's not too thick, but I am worried about us getting there on time. I look in the rearview mirror and ask Lisa, what happened? It's stupid, is all she says, still scowling out the window. It might be stupid, but if you flunk, we're all in serious trouble, Jasmine scolds her younger sister. What happened? Ask again, speaking up a little loudly to get the children's attention. She failed her exam, Jasmine says, looking back towards Lisa. Nuh-uh! Mr. Haddish wanted me to kill a mouse, Lisa shouted back defiantly, sitting forward in her back seat. Okay, hang on. Time out. I have to yell, breaking too hard at a light. God, how do parents do it? So your science teacher, Mr. Haddish, wanted you to kill a mouse? I'm assuming you were going to dissect it. Lisa nods like she's getting into more trouble by the minute. Her eyes are down, and she's drinking in on herself. Jasmine's just glaring out the window. So you didn't fail, you got a zero. Lisa glances up at the mirror, like she doesn't understand the difference. So we just need to get him to give you a makeup exam. I say to hopefully ease up some of the tension between the girls. Yeah, good luck, says Lisa. I honestly didn't know they still did dissections. I say as I motor on, I look at Jasmine. Okay, look, I know we've been doing this whole movie studio thing, but I need the truth now. Now it's Jasmine's turn to look like she's in more trouble. I start to belt out. So she's Lisa. Your brother's Kyle. She just stares at me. You're Addie, she says. We picked the new names. She shakes her head. It's stupid. Where are your parents? I venture. I got a very different silence. Neither Lisa or Addie seem inclined to even look at me. Guys, I need to know. I need to know if your mom or... Mr. Haddish hasn't met anybody. This is the first parent-teacher conference we've had, Addie says. She's talking softly, eyes cast down. She's still hugging her elbows close. I surrender for now. Okay. I can tell when we arrive at the school before traffic slows down noticeably, but just in the turn lane. I patiently wait in line, eyeballing the clock the whole time. Addie and Lisa are both completely quiet the whole time. Especially Lisa, normally a bundle of energy, as her poor name of Candy would suggest. She's still very still and sulking. We pull into a space and park. This is going to be very important. I'm confident I can deal with this, but I need you both to not let on to anything. Just let me handle this, okay?
She can't flunk, Addie tells me. She looks up at me with those big eyes, positively brimming with desperation. We'll do anything he wants just so he doesn't flunk her. Again, I'm embarrassed at how badly that one look of hers turns me on. I glance back at Lisa, and she's glowering away from me. Angry, ashamed. Okay, I tell them both, and we all get out together. Mr. Haddish's room seems cheerful enough. Bright posters and big windows make for a vibrant room on the first floor of the public school. His desk is at the back of the room, not far from the fire exit, into the center breezeway of the school. Bright fluorescent lights illuminate the room, crowded with knee-high desk. Cartoon characters announce stop, drop, and roll, and don't talk to strangers as I enter the room. Mr. Haddish, I say, trying to look friendly. Lisa and Addie follow behind me. Lisa behind her big sister like she could get the death sentence. Hey, I tell him as I extend my hand. It suddenly hits me that I don't know their last name. Lisa's dad, Ryan. Hey, Ryan, he says, shaking my head across his desk. He's a chubby guy with a small octagonal glasses and curly brown hair. A few freckles still dot his nose and cheeks, but a few gray hairs peek out from his scalp. Thank you for coming on such a short notice. We normally try to schedule parent-teacher conferences well in advance, but my schedule's pretty full. No, I'm glad you reached out. I understand this is an urgent matter, and I want to make sure Lisa gets everything straightened away as soon as possible. Mr. Haddish gestures for me to sit in a kid's chair pulled up in front of his desk. He must be joking. This is either a power play or just world class inattentiveness. To try to rebalance the power in this little scene, I pull over the nearest desk and sit on it. Keep the friendly face with this asshole. We have 4 tests, 1 a semester. The elementary school teacher begins. Your daughter refused to participate in any way. I nod. That's what she said. But her version of the story was that involved euthanizing a mouse and dissecting it. That's correct, Mr. Haddish says. We're fortunate to be able to continue to use hands-on educational methods in the school's science curriculum. Other schools in the district aren't so fortunate, but because the test accounts for 1/3 of her grade, she's setting a bad example for the rest of the year. I disagree, I say, stunning him. And the 2 girls who are sitting behind me. My daughter refusing to kill an innocent animal for a class exercise? Test or not, I am proud of her for not compromising her compassion. Haddish gets this very familiar look on his face. I've seen it all the time at the medical school. When doctors who think they're just going to order around the HR department realize they aren't going to instantly get their way. Be that as it may, he allows, like, it's a very generous accommodation. The fact is that this has done serious damage to her grade. And that's one thing I wanted to talk about, I interrupt. I understand her having a few points deducted for not informing you in advance that she wouldn't be killing an animal when you first explained the exam to her. But the fact that there is no makeup opportunity? That can't be right. That is right, Haddish says. The kids in my class are at an age where they need to begin to learn consequences for poor choices. At their age, I repeat, with muted incredibility. I explain that the first day there are no makeups, he insisted proudly. They elect not to do homework. They miss a quiz or even a test. They have to accept the liability. And what about medical exemptions, I ask. Are family obligations? Haddish snorts. Refusing to do what she's told isn't a medical exemption. No, but you must have makeup tests and other protocols available, I ask of him. He shakes his head. No, I mustn't, and I don't, he says proudly in his adamancy. Her grade is still her responsibility. I nod, I suck my teeth as I think, then glance at Abby and Lisa, who are both sitting quietly behind me. I nod again and tell Haddish, I want you to give her a makeup test. Mister, he starts, you can count it at an 80% max, but you will give her the chance to have something else on her record that isn't a zero for a test. Sir, he tries again. Giving a child a zero because she refuses to kill is absurd, I say over his attempt to interrupt me. You cannot give good conscience or professional seriousness. Give her a zero without the chance to make it up. You are dooming her grade for the rest of the year because of a single day. No, Haddish laughs. An A and an F cancel each other out. That is not true, and even if it were, an F and a zero are two different things, I explained to him. I'm starting to get riled up now. An overbearing and obnoxious teacher is one thing, but a science teacher without a basic understanding of math is another. Four tests, correct. And she's got a zero on the first one. That means that she does absolutely perfect on the other three. Three 100s. Her absolute best grade for the whole semester is a 75, which is a D. Her performance for the rest of the year has to be absolutely flawless because of one grade, and you're telling me you won't even give her the chance to make it up? Haddish is doing math in his head and has that embarrassed look on his face as he realizes my calculations are correct. I stand up and push the desk back into its place. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk this through with me. Mister, he tries again. If Lisa behavior suffers, or if she misses another assignment, please, definitely let me know, I inform him. But I trust she'll be able to make that test up soon. I extend my hand, and he takes it, almost in a trance. He's so unused to having the tables turned on him. I smile, but I don't let go of his hand just yet. I know I'm being overly cautious and probably a little bit out of line, but please indulge me when I say that I trust there will be no retaliation against Lisa because of anything. Her refusing to euthanize the mouse or anything else. Nothing at all. I shake his hand again and smile with a firm eye contact, all the while quietly pledging psychologically that I will drag his ass in front of the school board and the superintendent if he does. Mr. Haddish, to his credit, just sort of nods and says nothing. Come on, girls, I tell the two of them and start out. As we leave the room, Lisa reaches out and grabs my hand, practically clinging to it as we leave. On the drive home, Lisa's in the back seat, enjoying a vanilla ice cream cone. I stop for some dollar treats at a fast food place. It's been a minute since I was in school, but parent-teacher conferences always warranted something nice afterwards. In my case, it was usually to soften the blow of the grounding I was looking at. Thank you, Addie says in the passenger seat. I really didn't know what we were going to do or what was going to happen, but that was... She stares forward into the passing lights of the oncoming traffic as I drive, alternating shadows and bright lights washing over her face, eyes twinkling. Not a problem, I tell her. A different kind of shadow falls over her face, and she seems to remember the reality of the world. She says, I need to make it up to you. There's an urgency in her face, a quaking fear born of a lifetime of distress, however short that lifetime might be. I glance over at her as we stop at a light. Her face is still one half obscured and the other half lit from behind the streetlight. She's staring at me with fear. She can't accept the gift. She has to pay for it. Sure, I finally say with a shrug. Can you come over tomorrow night? She asks. My pants tighten, and I can't stop myself from glancing down below her collar at her tiny, teen breast standing out through her thin shirt. She gives me a false smile, one born of desperation and self-loathing, and it only turns me on more. find more of my content, check out my website, plushiezo.card.co. So that's Papa, Lima, Uniform, Sarah, Hotel, Yankee, Zulu, Oscar, Echo, Charlie, Alpha, Romeo, Romeo, Delta, Charlie, Oscar. Again, that's plushiezo.card.co. See you there, loves.